This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Today, we're going to speak about Tazria Mitzayot, the Tzaras. It's a big thing, Tzaras. People translate Tzaras. I think it's going. I believe it's going. Right? Is it going? I think it's going. Yeah. So, Tzaras, people translate it as leprosy. There is a physical, actual disease called leprosy. Is the leprosy, which the doctors and the medical professionals call leprosy, is that the leprosy of the Torah? Stomach not, probably not. Maybe it's, you know, taken a borrowed terminology, but the Rama writes clearly that Tzaras is something unique. It's not, it's almost not a ailment that could be put in the books as a physical ailment. This is a Rambam in Hilchos Tumas Tzaras, Perek Tazayin, Halacha Yud. The word Tzaras is not definitive. For example, if a person walks into a doctor, they define and diagnose the machla. Says the Rambam, the word Tzaras is not defined or diagnosed on a specific thing because it has many things. It could be on the body, it could be on the clothing, it could be on the house. So once that is the mitzias of a tzaras, that's the what a tzaras is, it can't be a physical thing. It can't be a disease. Because if it was the disease, it wouldn't be on the person, and at the same time, on the house. Tell me, do you know of a house that can get a strep throat? You know of a home that could get pneumonia? There's no such thing. So says the Rambam, this leads us to conclude that Tzaras is not a physical ailment. It can't be. Continues the Rambam, Sharei Loivin Ara Odom Kari Tzaras. On the skin it's called Tzaras. On the hair it's called Tzaras. On the begadim, on the bottom it's called Tzaras. So then what is Tzaras? Says the Rambam, Einam Imin Hagi Shalaylam. It's not a norm. It's not a physical. It's not part of what we call an ailment which is based on teva, on nature. El ois it was something created as a miracle, an ois, an appel, and a wonder, specifically to stop people from speaking Lashon Hara. So then the question becomes, is there a midah, keneged midah, in Tzaras? Is there a midah keneged midah? Now, the chayra, if it's an einish, if it's a punishment, then there has to be a midah keneged midah. And even if it's not a punishment, which of course it is, but even if it wasn't, if it was just a lesson in order to teach you, then it would also have to have a midah keneged midah. Because the only way you can learn the lesson, l'chayra, is when it's midah keneged midah. Mefarshim explain that every einish is midah keneged midah because it has to be fear as a punishment for, and it also has to be a lesson at the same time, and therefore needs to be midah keneged midah in order you could learn the lesson from it. Otherwise, what lesson would you learn? So again, it's clear that Tzaras cannot be defined a medical condition or a disease. It's an oisipella. And it's directed to stop Lashon Hara. Now, we could say one of two things. It's either the einish or the lesson. And either one requires it to be something midah keneged midah. So what is the midah keneged midah of tzaras to the Lashon Hara? And even inherently in the word tzaras, you have mitzi she, mitzi ra, tzaras. The wording of tzaras.
Like
the letters.
Like
that's right. It has in it tzar, and ra, and mitzar. It has all the evil that Lashon Hara creates is already inherent in the word tzaras. That is true. But what is the plague that plagues the person, the skin, the clothing? How is that midah connected midah? That's the question I'd like to address today in this year. Yes, it's clear that it's not a physical ailment, which leads us even more to try to understand, if it's an einish, why this einish? Why is it the punishment for the Lashon Hara? And how is it also a punishment that will lead to a lesson on how not to speak Lashon Hara? I do find the Chazal that addresses the halachas of the mitzvah as being midah keneged midah. For example, the birds, you have to bring birds. Birds chirp, they're mefatfet, they talk, they're constantly talking, they're constantly chirping in the background. The Baal Lashon Hara sits there and chirps in the background. I do find the Gemara in Erchin, Daf Tazayin on the base, the Gemara in Tazayin on the base in Erchin, it's quoted in Rashi, Perik Yigimel, Pasuk Mem Vav, that why does the Mitzvah sit alone, Badad Yeshev? Why does he sit alone? Says the Chazal, he sits alone because he also made partition. He also made mechitzos, separating people. And who does he separate? Hivdu b'lashon hara ben ish l'ishtei ben ish l'reyehu. You know how much machlekes lashon hara causes? He causes groups of people to stay away, to be separated from friends, neighbors, relatives. So therefore, with his Lashon Hara, midah keneged midah, he is put, cast, separated aside from society. So speaks Rashi, Chazal. So we find already that the Chazal, many of the Rishonim as well, I'm not going to elaborate on all the different cases and details of Hilchos Metzora, but we find that there is a search to find the midah keneged midah in tzaras. The question is, what is the midah keneged midah in the actual machla? And of course, not a physical machla, but whatever it is, the machla of tzaras. How is that midah keneged midah for speaking the Lashon Hara? Now it's interesting, we find that tzaras is mace. When a person is a mitzvah, the mitzvah is nechshev kemace. As a matter of fact, the pasuk speaks by Miriam, al no sihi kemace. When Miriam got her tzaras, Moshe, Vayoyim Aaron, O Moshe, be Adoni, Miriam got the tzaras. Shouldn't be like a mace. Dead? Miriam was dead? She had tzaras. So Chazal say, Shamitzer Yachosh of Kameis, Rashi quotes it on that pasuk. In Baha'loischa, Perik Yubayz, Pasuk Yubayz, Amosi Kameis, Shamitzer Yachosh of Kameis. It's like a dead person. Ma mace mitama bibia af mitzoira mitama bibia. And it's not just an analogy, but it has halachic ramification. And that is that just like the mace is mitama bibia, you walk into the room where a mace is, it's metama. So too, you walk into the room where the mitzvah is, metama, metama bebiya. So we find that the bodad yeshev is important. You know what bodad yeshev is important? He's metama. You got to stay away from him. Mitzvah is metama. Chafetz Chaim used to explain that that is a midah keneged midah, because hachayim v'amavis biyad halashim, life and death. Life and death is the tongue. So you spoke lashon hara, you brought death. So the halachas of the mitzayim, midah keneged midah, is like a dead person. You hear?
Sure.
You hear Rabbi say? We're looking for the Mida Keneged Mida in the Mitzayra. So we're finding it in the Halachas of the Mitzayra, in the Badad Yeshev, in the Badad Yeshev. That he sits alone. He separated people. He made partitions. He made people to be Badad one from another. We also find it that he has halach of a mace. He has halach of a mace. Tell me, are mason in society? No. Mason are put away out of society. The cemetery is not going to be in the middle of no one's going to walk in the middle of Main Street and have a fish store, a svarim store, and a cemetery, right? It doesn't go together. You ever saw a place like that? One store is fish, the other store is svarim, third store is pizza, and the fourth store is dead people, mason. You don't have that, right? It's usually outskirt. In Europe, it used to be out of the city. So almost bothered Yeshev like a dead person. We put him as if he's dead. On the outskirts, away from, because what? Achayim v'hanoves biyad haloshim. But Rabbi Sai, let me go one step further. Many mefarshim learn, many rishonim speak about this, that Badat Yeshev, he must sit alone. Why? Because the diburei, the Hevel Diburei, which means with his, whatever comes from his mouth, I don't know what the right word is. No, not the speech. When a person is contagious. With his mouth, whatever he says, which means even if you don't touch him, if you're in his proximity, he could hurt you, he could be mazik. If you're in his proximity, he could be mazik. He could hurt you. What is that all about? I mean, if it's not a physical ailment, we know there's something called contagious, right? Germs. Here we're learning that there's something called spiritual germs. Yeah, interesting. Is mitzvah contagious? Now, it's very interesting. I thought about this many, many, many a year, as they say. The leprosy, which was named leprosy, the physical, after the leprosy that once was in the times of Chazal that we don't have anymore, which is a big question for itself. Why don't we have that tzaras anymore? What happened? How come we don't have that tzaras? So many mefarshim explain, many achrayim tell us, that this was only a time and a place where Yidden were on such a level where they were able to receive this ois upera be Yisrael. You have to be spiritually elevated to be able to be punished for not being spiritually elevated. Till they were so far gone, they say, crank, you're too sick. We're so sick that we can't even tell that we're sick. That's very, very, that's pretty big. When you're that sick, that you think it's normal to be like that, that means we're very sick. So this is the same shot why we don't have tzaras today, many mefarshim explain. We're that sick, we're that removed, we're that on that spiritual level to receive tzaras, we're not holding there. So we don't even get the tzaras. But it's interesting that tzaras, which has to be studied, how did the tzaras, the leprosy, the physical, which does exist. Interesting, it does exist. So the question is that leprosy a lesson? Does that leprosy become now the physical ailment that's supposed to remind us? You know, every disease has its lessons, Rabbi Yisai. And I'm saying a chiddush. I know I'm saying a very big chiddush. I understand I'm saying a very big chiddush. It's something I thought about. Every physical disease that we do have today is also a lesson, and it's rooted in a malfunction of spirituality, of ruchnius. You know, when a person gets a strep throat, maybe because he's not using his throat properly. Maybe. But we just happen to get strep throats today. Maybe. I'm not telling you that I have an inner to understand all the mystical and deep Seydus Habriya. But as a simple Jew who believes that everything has a cheshbon, and that everything is a lesson, and everything that happens has a purpose and a reason. So when a guy gets a strep throat, you know what he should think? The first thing that should come to mind? He's not using his throat properly. Maybe he's not davening the way he's supposed to daven. Maybe he's not learning enough. So therefore, the throat gets an infection. Something's infected, huh? If someone has heart trouble, maybe he's not using his heart properly. I don't know. Maybe if the arteries are clogged physically, they're clogged spiritually. I am again to big trouble for saying all this. You know what? Let me not go there because everyone has heart trouble and everyone has high blood pressure. Okay, so let's leave that one alone. All right? But who knows if a person bangs his leg and he has a bruise, maybe it's because he should have used his leg for something proper and it's a lesson. With the Chfrum Yidden, we believe that everything has its reason and its cause and effect. So is there a connection between the leprosy of once was, what the Talmud calls tzaras, and the leprosy which recently, in Israel there was a big epidemic of leprosy. In the African countries, leprosy is still something that exists to some extent. Is there a connection? You know, years ago I heard from a very big Talmud Chacham who sat by a shmuz, by Reb Chatzkel Levenstein Zeche Tzadik Levracha. Reb Chatzkel Levenstein, the Mashgiach, upon his yeshiva, Zeche Tzadik Levracha. He saw everything in the light of Emunah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and spirituality and Kedusha. So this Talmud Chacham told me that Reb Chatzkel once got up in Ponovitch Yeshiva and he said, and I'll just quote it first in Yiddish and then I'll re-quote it in English, Mizak Migay Geben a schum von Geld. For there was can weisen the refuah of Yana Machla. So they come in of their bag. And ich will say geben them you side from them Yana Machla umzist. Das kommt von Shine Ateva, Shine Ateva, Shine Ateva, Shine Ateva. And he said an entire shmuz, sicha. Shini Ateva. And now let me translate that. He says they're offering a reward, a total of a certain amount of money at the time. Probably was big money. Today would be just enough to pay your grocery bill. But he said that anyone who offers, who gives, who delivers the side, the concept of cancer, Yana Machla, which would lead to the cure, they would give so much and so much amount of money as a reward, Nobel Peace Prize. Let them come on this barg, on this mountain. Ponovitch is built on an elevated mountain, like a small little mountain, a mound. So as they come and let them come on this mound, and I'll tell them the secret of the cancer. It's Shinui HaTeva, where man goes and changes. The Teva, he puts a hand to change the Teva. Hashem created a perfect world, and man feels that he could manipulate, could play with the beautiful Bria that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. This Talmud Chacham, who happened to have also had Yana Machli, had cancer, at the time that he told it to me, and he said that when Reb Chatzkel said it, nobody understood what he was talking about. Normally, when Reb Chatzkel would give a shmuz, when the Mashgiach gave a shmuz and Bachram didn't understand, they would go over to him and challenge him. What did you mean? What did you say? He said, by this one, nobody said anything because they didn't know what he was talking about. No one had any idea what he was saying. He said, years and years later, the Talmidim, they started to understand what he meant. And he said an interesting thing. Cancer is a shinui hateva. The nature of a cell is to multiply properly. When it starts to multiply in a way that it's aggressively multiplying more than its normal multiplication, it turns into a massive tumor. So it's a shinui of the teva of the cell. And what causes that? Man's manipulation, shinui in the teva of the Bria. The Rebbe Yishlom created a perfect world. The Rebbe Yishlom created a perfect world. And when man tries to put his hand, to put his print on what the physical, the creation of this world, by changing with his science and his hashkafa that he's koichi v'oitzim yadi, so Hashem responds by having the Teva being Mishana, that it changes its course. And he says, we understood what the Mashgiach was saying when they talk about all the not natural food and chemicals that cause the cancer. It's because chemicals is what? Is man's manipulation on the nature, on the natural of the Bria. And that, they say, causes a change in the cell. So man's kaychi va'aitzim yadi and is not being subordinate to the Rebbeinu Shloilam results in a physical machla. It's interesting, the Chazon Ish, who knew medical based from the Gemara, from the Chazalim, from the Torah Kedoshah. When people came to the Chazon Ish, he was able to diagram for them how surgeries should be made. Doctors would come to him to discuss brain surgeries that they were going to make. And the Chazon Ish, of course, never went to Harvard or to NYU or to, all the great John Hopkins, whichever the great, there will be the great medical hospitals. I said them already, huh? Okay. Huh? Okay. He never went to all these places. Sat in a little room in Bnei Brak, and yet he knew all the medical. How did he know all the medical? How did he know medicine? How was he able? I myself sat in Lakewood Yeshiva by the davening next to a person that was a product of one of these consultations that the Chazon Ish gave about a brain surgery. The family went to the Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish said that they should cut, he drew a diagram of the brain, and he said they should cut a certain amount and no more. When the doctors were in the surgery, during the surgery, they felt that they could do a drop more and they should clean here or go there, and they did not listen to the Chazon Ish's recommendation and consultation. And the person unfortunately suffered tremendous brain injury. I knew the person, but he was able to get married and have children in Bnes. It was a miracle. Very, very special person. Talmud Chacham, he worked for the yeshiva at the time. But it was noticeable on him. And he had something which was really, really a malfunction of the surgery. It was the doctor's malpractice. Based on the fact that they didn't listen to the Chazon Ish. So how did the medical doctor, who studied his whole life to make these surgeries under the greatest professors, know less than the Chazon Ish? That the Chazon Ish was right and he was wrong. And the Chazon Ish, like I said, let him know more than the Gemara. And the answer is, every physical ailment has in it a spiritual ailment. It has a Ruch Nizdika. And the Chazon Ish understood the ruchnius of it, maybe. And he understood the olam haruchni that's involved in the person. Was able to diagram physical. Machla and refuah. Machla and refuah. Chazon Ish, famous, that he once claimed that he could give the cure for yana machla, for cancer. But if he does, a different machla will come, which might be worse. And they wouldn't know how to treat it. So he didn't want to give it. The point being, machlas are addressing, disease addresses spiritual ailments. And every generation, based on its spiritual default and malnutrition and malfunction, its spiritual malfunction, has unique, specific diseases. We find there was something called the Black Plague. Killed out so many, we don't hear of it today. Certain machlas were only at a certain time, only, and then it stopped. What happened? And the answer is because these machlas were unique for the chatoim of that generation. They were unique, specific, directed, targeted for the machla of that generation. Now let's go back to tzaras. Maybe we don't have the spiritual tzaras. I don't know if the leprosy is supposed to be an example, a replica. I don't know. Because I don't know, if the word leprosy, who gave that disease that they call today leprosy, if it's based on anything in the Torah about leprosy, but one thing I could tell you, that the bodad yeshev and the leprosy, of the leprosy that they had recently, is the same bodad yeshev. The person had to be in isolation, because he was extremely contagious. Leprosy was something that came from Africa, and in Israel they had this problem. In the 30s, the 40s, they had this problem. The Moshe Feinstein, Zeche Tzadik Levrach, the Reshiva Zatzal, even has tshuvas, because the law of the land, of the country in Israel, was that any belongings to lepers, those that had leprosy at the time, needed to be completely confiscated, burnt, destroyed, to the point that there was a question, what do you do with the tefillin? What do you do? Are you allowed to burn the tefillin of such a chayla, of such a person? It might be contagious. You hear how fire contagious it was, that the person who wore it, that leprosy could go into the bottom of the tefillin, and someone who could wear it a week or two later might still have the problem. And Reshiva Zatzal deals with this question. There's a very famous story which Rabbi Levine Zecher Tzadik Levrach, would visit these lepers. And when they asked him, it's completely contagious. It's dangerous. You have a family, you have children. And he would always say the same thing, don't worry, it's not going to affect me. Shayim a mitzvah le'yeda davara. Someone does a mitzvah, nothing bad can happen to him. And they write in the books of Rabbi Levine, the story, history books of him, he went and went and went, and never once did he ever contract a disease. You hear how contagious. And yet, when you're pure, when you're a tzaddik, when you're bein adam l'chaveroi, like Rabbi Levine was a gem, he was polished to perfection in bein adam l'chaveroi, it didn't affect him. There's a beautiful story in one of Rabbi Levine's books. I think it was Ish Tzadik Hoy. I don't know if it's in the English version. I think it's in the second volume of the Hebrew version. Ish Tzadik Hoy. That Rabbi Levine said a story himself, repeated the following story. He said that he was once by a funeral of a classmate, a friend, many years from the day that they were together in school, but they kept up as a group, as a friend, as a class. So he went to the funeral of this classmate that passed away. In Israel, from the funeral home to the Beis HaKvaris, you walk the mace in the streets. That's how they would. So as they walked in the streets of Geula, en route to the Beis HaKvaris, one of the classmates, one of the friends, one of the Bnei HaChabura, he moved away from the group and he went into a store that sells atzitzim. Atzitzim are plants. In Israel it was a common thing that every home they would buy plants. These used to hang them. Anyone who ever is in Israel knows about atzitzim. Atzitz is a plant. That was the furniture, so to speak. You know, I don't know how much more furniture we were able to afford in the 30s and 40s. So the house was decorated with tzitzit. So the person, the friend, the classmate from Rabbi Levine, attending the friend's funeral, one of the other classmates, he breaks away from the group and he walks into the store and he buys an tzitz. Rabbi Levine was bothered by it. In the middle of a levaya, in the middle of a funeral, your friend passed away. That's what you have in mind. That's what's concerning you. A plant, to buy a plant for your house in the middle of a levaya of a friend. Rabbi Levine was adinos. He was very soft and very sensitive and sweet. He was contemplating, should he say something? He couldn't hold himself back. He said, I had to say something. So he told his friend, What are you doing? How could you do this? He says, Rabbi, you don't understand. You think I'm buying the plant for my house? you know so-and-so? Oh, yeah, the leper. Yeah, he has leprosy. Yeah, yeah. I visit him. I follow your footsteps, so to speak, and I also go visit, and I don't pay attention to the danger and to the fear of getting this leprosy. The doctors want to take all his belongings and burn them, including his tefillin. So I told the doctor, who was a religious Jew, his tefillin. Let's save his tefillin. I'll take them. Doctor said, it's the rule. I'm a doctor in a hospital. I can't let you just take the tefillin. I can't let you do it. Yeah, but it's tefillin. Come on, we're religious Jews. You know, we're not afraid. Come on, let's be strong and let's save the tefillin. The doctor said, you know what? I have an idea. What I will do is What you should do is go get yourself a plant. Come, show that you're visiting with this plant as a gift. And in the earth, you'll hide the tefillin, and you'll take the tefillin out with you as you leave the hospital. And like this, you'll sneak the tefillin out of the hospital. So after the levaya, I was scheduled to go to the bedside of this leper. So I bought the atzitz, I bought the plant to follow up on the plant to hide the tefillin to save it. Rabbi Levine used to say, take a look what means to be dan lekaf schus. Says he would have never put that together, right? Who would ever think that you're buying a plant has to do with saving tefillin in a hospital from a leper? He says, imagine if I didn't ask the guy. I would have lived all the rest of my days thinking, the guy did something which wasn't... the guy did something which was not proper. He bought a plant in the middle of a levaya. Now, not only is it something which is a chisarein, it's something beautiful that the guy did. And I would have never known had I not asked him. Now a person has to take a lesson how one should be dan lekaf schus. Okay? The point being, leprosy was extremely contagious. The Bavit Yeshev. Contagious, extremely contagious. So the question is the Bavit Yeshev of the real Mitzayra, which is replicated in the Mitzayra, maybe of the Mitzayra that we have, lepers of today, meaning years ago in Israel, or whatever it was at the time, what is the point of being of the contagious? And maybe it's a lesson, because every Baal Lashon Hara is very contagious. You know, Lashon Hara is a contagious disease, Rabbi Isaiah. You grab people with it. You infect people with it. People don't realize the infection that you cause people. The infection that you cause. Yeah. When a person speaks Lashon Hara, an infection. He becomes in your mind. Yeah? Connected. You can't get away from it. Maybe it contaminates people, the inyan of tumah, and maybe it's contagious. The lessons of direct from Mitzayra to the halachas of the Mitzayra. You hear Rabbi say? It's very possible that part of tzaras, which is contagious and infectious, and is metama, because that's all the things that Lashon Hara does. Lashon Hara is infectious and contagious. Possibly. But then Rabbi Yisai, I would like to go one step further. Alright? Because I'm trying to understand the idea of Bodek Yeshev and the Mida Keneged Mida of the Tzaras. What is the Mida Keneged Mida? And I came up with an idea. and I came up with a thought that I'd like to share with you this year. I saw Rabbi Yeruchim in Das Chachma Musar, Chelek Aleph, page 10. He also speaks about in Das Torah and Bamidbar, page Kuf Tzadik Vav. This is a very interesting observation. He says, when you speak Lashon Hara, and you see, or you see someone speak, how do you view that? You view it that a person is not nice, not a nice thing to do, right? Okay. Let me give you an example. If let's say you walked into a house, and you see somebody sitting at a table, all right, and he's eating a live mouse. A live mouse, didn't shacht it or anything. And the mouse is squealing, screeching, and the mouse is in pain. How would you react to that and say, this guy is completely, he needs to be animal cruelty, yeah? He needs to be locked up. What is he? He's subhuman. Huh? Subhuman. Here, give me an example. Imagine a guy is sitting at a table and they bring out, instead of a chicken that was geschacht and slaughtered, yeah, and cooked delicately for human consumption. That's not what happened. They bring the live chicken on the table, all right, and he takes the neck, takes a bite out of the neck, and the chicken is screeching. You'd call the authorities, right? This guy doesn't belong among human society. Right. Now let's give a different example, says Rabbi Yeruchim. Yeah? You come into a guy's house and guess what's on the table? A human being. A good man. A human being's on the table. And the guy goes, and he takes a bite out of the guy's neck. You hear? That's delicious. And the guy is, you're laughing, that's how Yeruchim brings it, I love it. Rabbi Yeruchim, he says, do you realize you're eating, when you speak Lashon Hara, you're worse than the guy who's eating the rat. You're worse than that. He says, you should reconstruct in your mind, what you just did. If you viewed in hindsight, in reverse what you did, you'd be disgusted. You'd go, what? I'm a cannibal. And cannibals, I don't even think they eat live people. They eat dead people. And it's... He brings a pasuk. The pasuk says... It was a beautiful pasuk. The pasuk says, "Ilamale Maya." I'm sorry, not pasuk. I'm a Mishnah. Mishnah Gimel, Avis Gimel base. "Ilamale Maya, Ish Esrayu Chayim Beloi." Man is capable of swallowing alive the other guy. That's Lashon Hara. Had the guy known that you're speaking the Lashon Hara about him, he would scream and beg you, you're killing me, you're hurting me, what are you doing to me? You know, there's an interesting piece of history which is kedai to share with the island. Rav Hutner, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha, used to say over a very interesting anecdote of history, piece of history which is interesting. I don't know if the word is anecdote, but some historic point, something interesting. He said that the Chafetz Chaim, originally when he read his Sefer Chafetz Chaim, went to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter to get a haskam on the Sefer. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said that he has to study it. He has to see what's written there. So now, you say the word Chafetz Chaim, everybody jumps. Anything the Chafetz Chaim wrote is, he was a young man at the time. So the Yisrael Salanter said, I want to read this and see if to give you a haskama. When the Chafetz Chaim came back to the Yisrael Salanter, the Yisrael Salanter said, I have an issue. I take issue with one of the things you wrote. In Klal Dalet Siman Yud Beis, you wrote that if somebody speaks Lashon Hara on his friend, he needs to go back to the person and ask him mechila and tell him, listen, I spoke Lashon Hara about you. I need to ask you mechila that I spoke Lashon Hara about you. The Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, you need to take that out. You can't print that. Otherwise, I can't give you a stomach. You don't take that. Why? I hold you can't go back and tell the guy, I spoke Lashon Hara about you. So the Chafetz Chaim said, but I got this straight out of Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah, Shai Tshuva Yisrael Zion. It says clearly that you should go back and tell the guy that you spoke Lashon Hara. And you ask him a chila. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said it's impossible that that's what Rabbi Yisrael, that that's what the Shari Tshuva meant. He wrote it. He said you should go back. He said that's not what he meant. You know what he meant? The guy knows. The guy knows you spoke Lashon Hara about it. So once he knows anyway, so you go back and neither admit that you did it, admit your guilt, come clean and tell him that you did it. But if he doesn't know that you did it, chas v'shalom for telling him. You can't tell him. It's impossible, said Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, that you should go back and tell him. What's the reason for this? You have to understand, when you tell a person you spoke, it's like the worst thing you could do about it. It means that you came and you in Yiddish is expressed, you ate him up alive. You realize what it means to speak? A person would rather have physical pain than busha. We know this. Chazal tell us. Tamar was ready to throw herself into a fire, not to be mevayish Yehuda. Busha, embarrassment, is killing somebody. Is killing somebody. Maybe we could go back and say the mida kenegan mida of the mitzayra, that he's chashiv kemeis, is because he killed the other guy. When you talk lashon hara, it's not only because achayim amavis tali biyad haloshen. Only because life and death, you can, who knows what you could do with it's more than that. Speaking Lashon Hara means I killed a guy. And if you'd understand that you killed a guy, you'd be embarrassed. Imagine a person goes and he, like I said, and he kills an animal for no reason. He's cruel. Animal cruelty. What about human cruelty? You know, there's a whole society that cares more about animal rights than human rights. You know, in the media today, it's something palatable. How many times do we hear on the news a story about a guy who was cruel to a dog? He was cruel to a dog, yeah? Animal cruelty, he's cruel to a dog. He left the dog outside when it was cold, out of a shreklach. And the same reporter could sit there and speak the most evil and hurtful and painful things against people. It's a Dabar Shapala. It's a Shapala. Rabbi Yeruchim, the Mashkiach, saw things straight. He cares so much about a dog, about a cat. Don't hurt the feelings of the cat. The dog. So how much more you shouldn't hurt the feelings of a human being? You're killing him. So mainly you chashiv what? Your chashiv ke nei samitzoyro. By speaking lashon hara, he killed the other guy. Because busha is maybe more than what? Than killing somebody. There are many people who would rather give up their life than to be embarrassed. To be embarrassed. It's a type of herig. It's a type of killing somebody. Okay. With this, okay, I didn't go back to the end of the story. The end of the story is that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter did not give the haskama to the Chavetz Chaim Sefer. Why? Because the Chafetz Chaim said he can't take out what Rabbi Yonah wrote, because Rabbi Yonah wrote it. So he wanted that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter should write in his Haskama how he interpreted Rabbi Yonah. That Rabbi Yonah just meant that if the guy already knows anyway, he should go back and tell him. But not Chas V'Shalom to go and tell him that you spoke Lashon Hara. But he could tell him what? I was Mavayishu, Baram. It's the worst you could tell somebody, right? So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, I don't want to do that. Why? Because people might read the Haskama, but they won't read the fine print, the details of where I explained the Rabbi Yonah. Yeah? They might not read that part. And therefore, they could just see in the Chavetz Chaim, you should go back and tell the guy who, yeah? You listening? It's unbelievable. He was afraid that maybe that in the letter that Rabbi Yisrael is going to write, people are not going to read that line. And they're going to end up just following what it says, to go back and always tell the guy, he spoke Lashon Hara about you, which is like killing him, and therefore he didn't give Haskama at all on the Chafetz Chaim. I heard from my Rebbe Reb David, David Feinstein. We were discussing where the Chafetz Chaim writes that L'tayeles, where it's for the good purpose, a good cause, you're allowed to speak Lashon Hara. For example, by Shidduchim and whatnot. He said, had the Chafetz Chaim known, I heard this from my Rebbe Reb David, quote, word for word, the way I heard it from him, quoted word for word, had the Chafetz Chaim known how they will abuse this halacha one day, and they'll use it in context where it's not the right place to use it, thus killing people innocently, it wouldn't be worth the whole halakha to be written in the first place, and he would have never wrote it the whole time. Had the Chafetz, again, it's very hard to say, because the Chafetz Chaim, we feel, almost was like written the Ruach HaKadosh. But this I heard, my Rebbe Reb David. Had the Chafetz Chaim known how people abuse and in what context they use this halacha to kill people, words used, to kill people, he would have never wrote it, because it was just not worth it. Because you made, which is really what Yisrael Salanter is saying. You're not telling the guy that you spoke Lashon Hara about him is killing him. It's killing him. You're literally killing the guy. And it can't be that that's halacha to go and tell him that you spoke Lashon Hara about him. Now, Rabbi Yisai, let's go back to the Pesukim. If you take a look, Miriam got the tzaras. Al-Naha Si Kames. Asher B'tzei Sei Mirechem Imei Vayoychel Chatzi B'saray. What is the Vayoychel Chatzi? So Bishlam in the mace, I see, Rashi tells us, because the Mitzayr is Kames. What about the part where he says that he ate up half the flesh? What's the analogy, the Kesher to Mitzaras? No, Rabbi, I'll let you finish the shir. No? What's the Vayoychel Chatzi B'saray? You're eating up the other person. Rabbi Yeruchim. The Mitzayra is eating. And therefore the Tzaras eats at the person. It's a type of cannibalism, for lack of a better analogy.
People think cannibalism is if I sat there and I ate his drumstick with ketchup. No, it's not. If I eat his pride and his dignity, together with a piece of kugel and a schnapps at a kiddush, that's also called cannibalism. Did you hear what I just said? Could we repeat it? Cannibalism isn't just eating a guy's drumstick. Okay? Eating his arms and his legs with ketchup. Or with ribsteak sauce. Cannibalism is eating his dignity. It's eating his dignity together with a schnapps and a piece of kugel and a kiddush as well. Vayoichal chatzi besaroi. Vayoichal chatzi besaroi. Vayoichal chatzi besaroi. It's an analogy. So that's the answer of the Mida Kenega Mida and the Tsaras Rapoisai. You hear? Tsaras could be Mida Kenega Mida, that he's Choshuv Kemeis, but the actual Tsaras, which at one level I could say is even deeper, it's a type of decadence, of recovering, it's a type of molding and where the body rots. Because the truth is, those that speak Lashon Hara is rooted in rottenness. That's the person. But it's also what you did to the other guy. Vayoichal chatzi besari. It's like eating up the guy alive. And this I saw in the words of Rabbi Yeruchim. Rabbi Yeruchim saw speaking Lashon Hara is ufesin yanim, estuf yanim. You're eating up the other guy. Now, let's understand the bud of Yeshay. What would you do with a person who eats animal cruelty? Where do we put him? Out of society, right? What happens if a person... If a person eats people, what do you do with a guy like that? He's mazik. He's a danger. You know, if a person would walk around with a yielding sword or with a gun, what do you do with a guy like that? You lock him up. You don't belong in society, right? When a guy walks around with a gun that is called his tongue, Badad Yeshev, he doesn't belong in society, Rabbi Yisai. Because he's a mazik. You know, in Halacha, the Baal Lashon Hara is compared to the Nachash. The Pasuk says by the Nachash, or by Yisrael, the Nachash, the Pasuk by the Nachash, he's compared to the Baal, to the Nachash. What's the comparison of the Nachash to the Baal Lashon, to the Baal Lashon Hara? And the answer of Beisai is very posh. Yeah. The Nachash is the ultimate mazik. There's a shaila in the Mishnah. What do you do with a wild animal? So there's a whole question on all the other animals. But by the Nachash, it says clearly, what do you do? Mishnah says you have to kill him right on the spot. Why? Because there's nothing you can do with the Nachash. The Nachash is the ultimate mazik in society. The ultimate predator. The Baal HaLashon is the ultimate predator as well. I want to tell you something interesting. You know, a Nachash, there are many different Nachashim, Rabbi Yisai, that kill in many different ways. And I thought a lot about this as well. I always, throughout the years, my wife used to schlep us every Yom Tov to the zoo and to the aquarium and to... So the first time you get excited over the fish and the animals. What do you do the 30 other times that you went with the kids and everyone's crying and everybody wants their candy, right? I studied every animal to try to see in the bigger picture, the ruchniistic world, what role they play. Most animals have one method of killing. The nachash has many methods. There are some nachash that they bite. There are some nachash that swallow in one shot. There are some nachash that wrap around your neck and choke you to death. The nachash and the baal lashon hara is very ineligible. It's the same. There's a tremendous kesher.
It's not only the bite, they inject poison.
Poison is also. That's what I get to in 2 seconds. Sometimes it's the bite, and sometimes it's the poison that poisons further. Lashon hara and the baal lashon hara sometimes swallows. Ish Yisrael chayim b'loy. Sometimes the nachash, he chokes you. Sometimes the nachash swallows you alive. And sometimes his venom, his poison. The analogy of the nachash and the baal halashon and the pasuk is the poison of the nachash. Okay? And what do you do with the nachash? He belongs only in one place. In a cage in a zoo. No other place does he belong. Bagad Yeshev Michutz Labachna. That's why the halacha of the Baal Halachshin is Bagad Yeshev, and it's Saras. Because it poisons Vayechel Chatzi B'Sarai, and it swallows and it poisons the flesh and it eats up the person.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.